Well, good day everyone everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Jesus, our Messiah. The name of this broadcast is Cross the Border, and I'm Nicholas, and today is a live Prophecy Reality News Edition, so I want to thank everyone for showing up for the live broadcast, the few people that are in the chat room, and the other 10,000 people that are listening right now. Yes, do you think so? Okay, what are we going to talk about today? I guess first we ought to take a look at what's in the news. And today's alliance of Ishmael and Esau appears in Pope and Abbas's Vatican meeting this past Saturday, and this is a January 17th article, so I guess it's been here a little while. Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas met with Pope Francis in Rome. But it kind of caught my eye there that they're calling them Ishmael and Esau. So, of course, I guess Abbas would be Ishmael and the Pope would be Esau. Seems fitting to me. just piqued my interest. I'm not really going to read the article, but I thought it was an interesting comparison there on the BreakingIsraelNews.com website, which I don't endorse, but they have articles and stuff there. They seem to keep up with what's going on in Israel at the time. They got a lot of commercials, too, or advertising on their site. Let's see. And this is, it says latest news biblical perspective. Yeah, right. Okay. But anyway, let's see what else they've got there. This is current stuff here. Trump to let Jerusalem embassy veto expire in time for 50 years of reunification. A lot of people don't know about this. Back in the 1990s, Congress passed the Jerusalem Embassy Act. And this act was to move the embassy, the U.S. Embassy, United States Embassy, from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. Okay? But there's a waiver that's been signed every 6 months since that act has passed in the Congress. And this waiver is signed by the president every 6 months, holding it off for another 6 months. Can you imagine that? Every 6 months, the president and every president, Bush, Carter, Bush, Clinton, Clinton, Bush, and then Obama have signed the waiver every 6 months. But apparently, according to the article, President Trump is not going to sign the waiver, meaning that the embassy will be moved to Jerusalem. And anyway, so that article is there. Let me put this up. Let me copy this and put it in the chat room for all you people there. Put my face back on the screen. Chat room, here it comes. But you can find that at Israel Breaking News anyway. So, take a look at the article, save it, save the link, open it up in another tab, read it later. Right now, we got a broadcast to do. We don't engage in newspaper exegesis here, or exegetics, or eschatology, or whatever you call it. That's not what Prophecy Reality News is about. It's about reality. Not blowing everything out of proportion or trying to get everything to fit into, prophecy. We're fighting the fight, man. We're protesting the mark of the beast and the Antichrist. That's what it's all about here. So, well, what else? I was listening to Tom Fress, and like I said, I'd like a little input here. I really don't have a lot planned. I'm going to jump into, in the second hour, back into our topic of, that we're carrying on each week, doing a little installment each week, the practical use of the apocalypse or the book of Revelation, because people today, and especially in the churches, they don't seem that the Bible prophecy has any practical use. So, I'm going to go through that series until I've completed, I think. I have like two more installments of that. I did want to talk a little bit more about my book, When the Third Temple is Built, the Rapture Play Will Begin. And going through with what we've, you know, basically we're battling over the mark of the beast and the whole rapture eschatology, which seems to have permeated the entire visible church or outer court of the church. Going back to the Revelation temple scene, the outer court is just permeated with this. And how do we battle that? And that's why I wrote this book. I mean, really to make it and put a dent in this. I'd like someone to step forward and maybe we could do a crowdfunding or something, because I don't want to do it. I think this should be done independently of me. And that is to send, because I have this in pocketbook edition now. See, this is trade publication and pocketbook. And the pocketbook is cheaper to produce. But I think we ought to get one of these to like every pastor in America. And I believe it'll make an impact. But you know, to reach 10 people with it, you probably have to send out 100 copies. That's just the way it works. And I would make absolutely nothing on it, but I wrote this book for pastors and people that have somewhat of a clue as to what the Bible says, so that they can look at a few passages there. They can also think about what's going to happen when they start to build this temple, okay? And then when they start to build this temple, we all know. See, we already know. I am 100% sure that there will be no rapture, because I've read God's word and I know it very well. And I know that there will not be a rapture when they start to build the temple in Jerusalem. And you know, we're getting close. That's why this book is timely now. And people need to read it. And even if I get, you know, only 10 of the people that, pastors that read this book out of 100, if only 10% respond to it and seriously consider it, the other 90%, when they start to build the temple, and they're not raptured away, guess what they're going to look at? Guess what they're going to think about? They're going to think about this book. And so we need to get these out there. And I don't know how many pastors there are in America with congregations of 50 or more. I mean, that's really what we need. That's what we need to start with, the smaller independent congregations out there. Yeah. That aren't affiliated, these, what do you call them, non-denominationals. So, I mean, here's a job. You want to work in God's kingdom. You want to get this out. Let me know. And you can set up a crowdfunding thing or something or some way. Or I can, you know, take care of the, somehow get these, start a list of pastors or something. Also to take someone to put together, because we can send them e-copies too, as well as hard copies. I'd like to do both. And someone to have that, to search out just pastors, you know, of, non-affiliated congregations, and send them one, everyone in their organization, an e-copy, and a PDF of this book free, so that they'll consider it and read it. Because it should pique their interest. And, you know, I wanted to make this title, When the Third Temple is Built, the Rapture Play Will Begin. Now, wouldn't that pique your interest? Just think about it. Would it pique their interest just to read the title and go, you know, maybe I better look at that. What is this rapture play thing that's going to begin? What does he mean? Because I want them to read it. And I start out gradually in the book. I don't hit them with any hard-hitting stuff like social security numbers or driver's licenses or any of that stuff. Okay? But they all went to seminary and were thoroughly indoctrinated. Garbage in, garbage out. Tell a lie long enough. Exactly. But you know what they do have is they have enough information from the garbage in that they have to respond to what's in this book, it will cause them to take a pause because that's what it's all about. Okay? And that's what I write in the author's, in my preface to the book. I have there the one-page author preface or prologue. Most of the evangelical and Christian world today believes that the coming of Christ is imminent and that they will be raptured away before all the calamity of the entire book of Revelation ensues during the last 7 or 3.5 years of this era. A great tribulation unlike any other in the history of the world. As the world around us shapes to confirm that we are indeed in the time of the very end, many are beginning to look deeper into the Bible and more specifically the prophetic passages of Jesus, the epistles, and the Revelation. This has caused many to lay down the pre-tribulation rapture doctrine because of the shaky ground on which it's founded. And see, this is a progressive thing. People laying down the rapture. The first step is considering that there may not be a pre-tribulation rapture. Because that was the first step for me 20 years ago. That's right. And I discovered it by reading the Bible myself because I was going to teach the rapture. Yeah. Can you believe that? 20 years ago, I started my broadcast, a little more than 20 years ago. And I decided, I got to teach people about this rapture because, I don't want them to get left behind. Sincerely, that's how I thought. But the problem was when I opened up the Bible because I wanted to verify everything in God's Word for myself. Before that, I had been taught by Bible skipping, hopping, and skipping and jumping through the Scripture. I had learned the rapture eschatology from pastors in the pulpit who went to the seminaries. And they were taught a teaching method. So they taught by that method. I learned by that method. I believe what they taught. But when I had to go to the Bible to verify everything for myself so that I could teach it, that's when I had a problem. And I discovered the rapture was not in there. That there was no pre-tribulation rapture. So it's a progressive thing. Okay? So I continue in the next paragraph of my prologue in the book, when the third temple is built, the rapture play begins. I continue. I am one of those people, that laid down the pre-tribulation rapture because of the shaky ground on which it was founded. I say I am one of those people 20 years ago. Okay? I wholly rejected the pre-tribulation rapture. But about 12 years ago, I set out to understand completely as any man can what the true meaning of the interpretation of God's prophetic word really is. What I found out is that the deception and error goes much deeper than one would think upon entering this sojourn. So please take a break. Let go, seriously consider the things that I expose in this continued investigation into the false as well as the unknown or forgotten interpretations of Bible prophecy. This book is by no means a complete expose of Bible prophecy, but merely a teaser, an appetizer to induce you to look where the mainstream Christian world is not looking. May the Almighty bless you as you seek a Holy Spirit interpretation of His prophetic passages. And that's why I wrote this book. Okay? And I start out. If everyone in the chat room and everyone listening to this broadcast needs to read my book, go to my website, go to the free ebook page and get a copy of this book and read it and consider giving them away or emailing the link that I send you to every pastor in your town. We need an army. The Antichrist has an army. Where is our Protestant historicist army? Where are the true believers, the reformers? The Counter-Reformation army is strong. They're winning the battle. Okay, on the earth, they're winning the battle in the hearts, and they have the hearts and minds of many, even of the elect. Probably most of the elect believes in the lie of the rapture and some form of counter-reformation eschatology. And that's why I start out soft and gradual in this book. And first I cover, you know, about the temple being built, why the Jews are going to build it. We go, you know, I go into a little scholarly thing about the temple and how it began and the sacrifice and all that in chapter one from the beginning, the sacrifice. We go through all of that. I give them a good message there, a good gospel message, a good solid gospel message in chapter one so that they know my heart and the heart of the movement that I'm in, that this is true Christianity. Okay, they get a good solid gospel message from in there. And we talk about building the third temple and what's going on in the Mideast right now and how that momentum is building. Okay? And then chapter two, learning the lines. We talk about the 7-year tribulation, where it comes from. You know, we talk about Matthew chapter 24. We talk about how they derive where the term the Great Tribulation comes from. Great Tribulation. It doesn't say the Great Tribulation. It says what does it say exactly? For then there will be great tribulation. That's what it explicitly says. For then there will be great tribulation in Matthew chapter 24. But it doesn't say the Great Tribulation. And nowhere in, so that's where they get the term Great Tribulation. They add the to it. And single it out and separate it from all other tribulation, and then they have to assign 7 years to it. And they get the 7 years from Daniel. And I go through Daniel completely. I mean, I rip the Daniel 70th week juxtaposition to shreds. When I get done with them, they're gonna have to be either not read it or be dishonest. And put their blinders on purposely to continue to believe that Daniel's 70th week is future and not contiguous. That it was not fulfilled during the 7 years that followed Jesus showing up on the scene as the Messiah at the Jordan River baptism. And they can confirm it all with their Bible. That's what this book is all about. And it's simple. We'll talk more about that when we get back from these messages. You're listening to Cross the Border. Don't go anywhere.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on internet or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. Then, when you subscribe, we will send you the last quarterly MP3 CD of that program immediately, and continue to do so with each new quarter. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe, so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
The book of Revelation says, the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ. This is at the very heart of FirstAmendmentRadio.com. In that spirit, we have created the Prophecy Reality News app for all of your mobile devices, streaming First Amendment Radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, available for your Apple, Android device, and smartphone absolutely free. Get the Prophecy Reality News app installed today so you can listen to First Amendment Radio wherever you are. The Prophecy Reality News app. Get it now. Oh, we're back. You're listening to Cross the Border. This is our Prophecy Reality Edition. Just checking out all my sound check and all that stuff here. Okay, let's see what's going on here. Oh yeah, we were talking about, what were we talking about? Yeah, you know, it would be good to have a co-host, someone to pick up the slack for the other guy there. I think it would be more interesting if I had a co-host. Just got to have the right person in here, though. Someone who won't agree with me on everything, but make it interesting. But at least as a historicist, a Protestant historicist, yeah. Okay. Well, I better think of something to say here, because maybe I need another sip of Java. Mm. Okay. Let's see. Yeah, something that I heard earlier today was about the first appearance of Christ, how that the Hebrew people, you know, the Jewish nation, before Christ, God gave them a countdown to the Messiah of years. That's right. They knew to the year. Now, they didn't know precisely, and the person kept saying they knew precisely, but he didn't intimate precisely what. Talking about Tom, of course, Tom Frest. He kept saying they knew precisely when he would. No, they knew to the year. They knew precisely to the year. And I'm not even sure they knew exactly what year. They knew it was 483 years from the going forth of the decree. So they knew that it was the year of the arrival of the Messiah. But they didn't know the day or the hour. Now, the only criteria that were given in the New Testament is that no man knoweth the day and the hour. Okay? But they didn't know the day and the hour either. So we're kind of in the same boat. There's a good parallel there. Maybe that's a better way to look at it, is that there is a parallel. Because that's what I discovered when I did my What Year Is It study, is that, you know, I don't know the day and the hour, but I can know the year. And there is a precedent for us knowing the year. And that is that God revealed the year of the Messiah showing up on the scene the first time to Israel. And those boys, you know, James and all those guys saying, we have found the Messiah. Well, you know, if you're excited about finding something, what does that mean? It means you were looking for it. See, we found the Messiah. That means, and they went and reported to someone else, we have found him. Well, it means they were all looking for him. That's right. They were looking for the Messiah. And why were they looking for him? Well, the same reason that we're looking for his return. Because it was prophesied that he would come. That's right. And so they paid attention. The prophecy of Daniel said 69 weeks, 483 years. Unto Messiah the Prince. So they were looking for this Messiah the Prince, the great prophet who would show up. Malachi, the Lord whom ye seek, shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, confirming what Daniel wrote about the Messiah, the he that would show up, that would confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, not make a firm covenant with many sometime in the future. I clearly spell that out in the book when the third temple is built. So do I have anyone want to join our Reformation historicist army here? You want to become soldiers conscripted into this battle to fight, to protest the mark of the beast and the Antichrist, and to fight against what they've done, to expose the wicked deed that they have done, the delusion that they've foisted upon the church, that they've completely permeated the outer court and even the inner court. People are bringing this into the inner court because they don't know any better. There's no one, you know, who's teaching them? Who's in control of what's taught in these seminaries? It's astounding to me. You know, what me and James were talking about earlier, because he was applying to some seminaries and you have to believe in the rapture? Yeah. So, yeah, you can't even go out and preach freely. Yeah. So, that's why now I think James is beginning to understand why we need a Protestant historicist Bible college. I'm willing. All I need is, I need men and women or whatever. I don't know about women so much, but there's got to be women out there, to older women, to teach the younger women as the Bible mandates the truth about these things. But we need people that are willing. I mean, how many of you all got full-time jobs and families, and none of you are retired, okay, or retirement age? See, because I don't have a job in the world. I gave that up a long time ago. So I do this all the time. You know, this is my job right here. This is what I do. And I work for the Almighty alone, and I count on Him alone. And I got one man coming here. Let's see, what's his name? Michael Eugene. I'll see him in the chat room. I know he's working where he's at, but he'll be here this month later on. He's going to join our ministry here and give his all. I mean, he's going to, whatever. But he found himself in a position where he's unmarried, by himself, living in Florida or whatever, and decided, well, you know, I could just trade in everything I got and go out there and work with Nicholas at Cross the Border Publishing, you know, ministry. And so I'm looking for more people that are dedicated and want to do that. If you have a Bible, if you have a degree, then we need you to teach in our Bible college. I need teachers. I need administrators. And if you have a degree, that would even be better. Then we could get accredited. That way we can send pastors out into churches. Yeah. Because that's what it's going to take to get. And we got 40 years to go, people. Remember, I know. I may not know the day and the hour, but I know the year. You know? And it's about 2055. It could be 2054, 2055. 2056. That's what I'm going to say. I don't know the day and the hour, but I know the year. And it's somewhere around there. That's close enough. That's all I need to know, is that we got almost 40 years here. And so we need to train people to go out there and teach the Reformation truth about who the Antichrist is, about the false rapture. And all of these things that we need. We need to get this word out. This book is a good place to start. So, do I have any volunteers in the chat room? Anyone listening? We're live Wednesday morning. It's 9:41 right now on March 8th. So, come on over to the chat room. Call in. The number, 559-797-8537. The numbers in the chat room are on the homepage at firstamendmentradio.net. So call in or email me. Say, I want to join the fight. What can I do? You know, I got $50 that we can give away, send out books. Here's a list of pastors. You know, compile me a list of pastors in your area. And let's send them a copy of this book, When the Third Temple is Built. Costs us, if I buy these in bulk, you know, it probably costs us less than $5 to send them one of these. I'd like to get the, any, someone could get the cost down. If you can get the cost down, you know, get with me. I'll give you rights to go ahead and print it, you know, that way. Give you the files and everything to go ahead and have it printed. But, you know, this is the book for the time we're in. So, and what's going on the ground when the third temple is built, the rapture play will begin. It's for pastors and people that, there's a lot of them on the internet. And you need to email them a link to this book. Let's see. What do we got going on in the chat room? A seminary brainwashed, accredited in being brainwashed futurist. Did you listen to Tom today? Okay, well, I know who he's talking to, but it's true. You know, we know. See, we know, and the people think we're nuts. They think we're crazy because we don't want to participate in socialism, because we don't want to buy into the rapture, you know, because we don't replace the word resurrection with rapture. We believe what the Bible says. It talks about the resurrection. I believe in the resurrection. But I don't believe the resurrection has anything to do with a 7-year tribulation period that I cannot find in the Bible anywhere. Without conjecture and inventive interpretation. Scriptural gymnastics. That's what I call it in my book. Scriptural gymnastics. I said, Tom, I heard him using my phrase this morning. Scriptural gymnastics. Okay? How do you know it's about 40 years? Well, George, did you read my book, When the Third Temple is Built or the Rapture Will Be Canceled? How do I know? Let me put a link in the chat room for you. And let's see. Okay. If you go to my website, let me refresh this page here. This is live radio video streaming. And no, it's not trending. It's usually the article is trending. So I have to, if you go to my website and you press on the little magnifying glass, the search icon there, and you type in what year is it? And that post will come up. Let me see. Desktop, transition. There it is right there. That post will come up, okay? And I'm going to put a link in the chat room right now. Let's see, copy link, put link in chat room, paste. And that's how I know, because the Bible tells me so, okay? Some people don't agree with me, but that's okay. Tell me why. I have a page there. On that page, I just put it in the chat room. What year is it? Okay? And let's put that back on the screen there. I put the link in the chat room. And go through this. It's a biblical, in the pages of this booklet, it says, you will find every biblical reference needed to verify what this summary chart reveals. And so that's what we do as we go through this. And if you click on the summary chart, look at that. It blows it up so you can read it. And to go back to the article, you just press the back arrow on your browser. Okay? So there it is. And it goes through all of these times. You can find all of these in the Bible itself. Okay? So anyway, we go back and you can, like I said, click on it. It'll blow it up so you can see it nice and big. That way I don't have to use my reading glasses to read it. But all of this, genealogies, Adam to Isaac, 2049, that's the number of years. Isaac to Exodus, 400 years. Exodus to Kings 1, to 1 Kings 6:1, 480 years. Kings to desolation, 430 years. Desolation to decree, 100. All of these times are in God's Word and verifiable, okay? And then 60, if we go 69 weeks unto Messiah, 483 years. That's 69 times 7. And then Jesus shows up at the Jordan River baptism. He is anointed by the Holy Ghost, and he's declared, confirmed by the Father. And so there are plenty of witnesses there. You have the Holy Ghost, you have the Heavenly Father, and then you have the word of John the Baptist. Three witnesses. He's the Messiah. He showed up on the scene. Just as promised, 483 years to the year. Precisely to the year. I don't know if it's precisely, but it was 483 years from the going forth of the Messiah. So I wouldn't use the word precisely there, Tom Fress, because it'd give people the wrong idea. Okay, because we knew the year he would show up, and I don't know if it was precisely a year to the minute or whatever. It's not important to me. And that's why they were looking for the Messiah. 3.5 years later, in the midst of the 70th week. Okay, that's what this represents here, is the 70th week. In the midst of the week, he put an end to the sacrifice and oblation by the sacrifice of himself. And any offer after this point of animal sacrifice for sin in the temple, guess what it was? It was an abomination. And Jerusalem was compassed about by armies. All of those things happened. This was the time of Jacob's trouble, 40 years. This was the true time of Jacob's trouble. It's not a 7-year period in the future. Jacob's trouble is over with. It's been done and gone. 40 years. And from the time, and then of course Jacob or Israel, the nation, was dispersed and destroyed. And they were sold into slavery or killed by the sword at the word of Jesus. Right? Because that's what he said would happen. That's why he told his followers, the true Israel, the chosen people, followed the Messiah. God's chosen people followed the Messiah. Okay? God's chosen people followed the Messiah. Who are God's chosen people? God's chosen people follow the Messiah. God's chosen people follow the Lamb wherever he goes. God's chosen people have the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords as their King and their Lord. God's chosen people live in his kingdom. God's chosen people will be resurrected from the dead. When he appears, God's chosen people will appear with him. Who are God's chosen people? Not some nation in the flesh. Remember, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So they can't be God's chosen people if they can't inherit the kingdom of God. Because it's flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. God's chosen people are washed in the blood of the Lamb. God's chosen people will be made kings and priests and rule and reign with him for 1,000 years when he comes. Who are God's chosen people? Not that nation of flesh over there. Not Jacob. Not those that call themselves Jews, but are not really the people of God. Now there are some over in the nation of Israel that have accepted the Messiah, that have washed their robes white in the blood of the Lamb, just like there are in every nation on the planet of Earth. We are God's chosen people. We are the true Israel. We are made up of people from all nations. We have all been grafted in. We are God's chosen people. So anyway, you want to know? You ask the question, how do I know? There it is. Verify it for yourself. And in this article, if you scroll down, you can go through the whole article. We go through it all, the genealogies, the reigns of the kings. We talk about the calendars. We talk about the Jewish calendar. There's the reigns of the kings there. Go down, we talk about the Julian calendar, the Roman Gregorian calendar, and the Jewish calendar. We talk about what's wrong with the Jewish calendar, why they're so far off, because of the Messiah, because they didn't want to accept him. They wanted to write him out. Yeah. So they have to skew the 490-year prophecy, Daniel's 70th weeks. We talk about the Roman creation calendar, synchrony, and on it goes. And finally, I talk about, are you ready? And then you'll see at the end, read all the comments. There's a lot of comments. Let's see, first comment, 2016. Oh, that's the latest comment is 2016. Let's go to the oldest comment. And that was in, wait a minute, no, that's a answer to a comment. People, okay, there should be, what is my oldest comment here? it seems like I put this up a lot longer than 2016. 2013, and there's one from 2013, because people answer comment on comments. So 2013, and I don't know when, what the date is. Let's see what the date is on this. I might have republished it at one time, too. But it says, 2013, 4/26, 2013. What year is it? So it's been up there a little while, but it's been updated and refined over all this time. And you can tell by the comments, a lot of people have commented on it. So if you find a problem, if you think it needs a little more revision, then make sure that you leave a comment there so everyone knows. And I have made revisions in the charts and the chronology because of people that have contributed to that article. So I can't claim this article. I initiated the work. But with the help of all of you out there, all of my listeners and other people who have read this article and all of these comments, the contributions of all these readers and listeners here, we have refined it to what it is today. So make sure you take advantage of that. What year is it? And also, the other thing about that, what year is it, is that it is an addendum in this book. When the third temple is built, I thought it was very important for people, once they become disabused of rapture nonsense, okay, when the that they have an understanding about how much time we got left and how much work there is to do in the few years that we have left. Because that's a few years. We got a lot of work to do in the next few years. So we got any takers out there? Anybody? Nobody's calling in. Nobody's stepping up. So, I don't know. I guess I'll keep fighting by myself if I have to. But I've got a lot on my plate. And from what we're finding out, that if you don't have a socialist number, if you're not a card-carrying socialist, let me put it that way, because it's plainly what it is. If you're not a card-carrying socialist, they will not even let you in to the Jesuit-controlled seminaries. Okay? They won't even let you in to the Jesuit-controlled seminaries if you're not a card-carrying socialist. Or if you don't believe in the rapture, you might have a hard time getting in because some, you know, their statement of faith that you must agree with, it may have something about the rapture in it. We believe in a pre-tribulation rapture. Well, what's going to happen? Let's say they start building this temple in next year. Okay? Let's say next year they start building the temple and nobody's raptured. Their 7-year tribulation starts. This is the key event. This is the event that starts it when the third temple is built. That's the kickoff. What's going to happen then? You know, we want this book out there. We want it in their hands. Okay? And so if I got to do this all by myself, I can't find anyone, you know, relatively speaking, that is willing to work and leave everything else behind. And you know, especially if you have, you know, you're renting a house, you're living by yourself, or you know, maybe just you and your wife, and you really own nothing, you know. And you know, you want to enjoy your retirement? I'm never retiring. I'm going to fight this fight until I'm 104, if that's how long it takes for the for our Lord to come back. So who's willing to fight that fight? Let me know. Okay, we're going to go into a break, and when we get back, we're going to talk about practical use of the apocalypse. Go not anywhere.
Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of the book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled. That's crosstheborder.org.
I know you all want answers, and believe me, so do I, and I'll do my best to get them.
Despite Nicolas Cage's promise to do his best to get Left Behind Rapture answers for us, don't hold your breath. Not everyone believes Left Behind is true prophecy. Some may even regard as conspiratorial the mainstream re-release of the Left Behind movie with actor Nicolas Cage portraying the main character as an attempt to further reinforce in the minds of all this perception of false prophecy in order to condition the masses for the play about to begin. If you want true Bible prophecy answers, get the book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled. The author exposes the Latin rapture origin, the seven-year tribulation deception, true Bible revelation of Daniel's 70 weeks, the abomination of desolation, the restrainer, America in the revelation, the image of the beast, and the mark of the beast, and the truth about God's chosen people, and so much more about Bible prophecy. This book will shatter the left-behind paradigm of future events. Get the book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled. Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of the book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled. That's crosstheborder.org.
Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border, our Prophecy Reality Edition, and we're pretty much just having a discussion so far today, but I guess it's time to jump into and continue our series on practical use of the apocalypse. Let me find that here. And right where we left off last week, Part 4 of Practical Use of the Apocalypse. The Practical Use of the Apocalypse, of course, the Book of Revelation, in the present day as casting a light upon the whole course of Christian history, revealing the plan of providence and confirming faith amid the assaults of modern skepticism. And that's what we have, modern skepticism. That's what the whole rapture Left Behind eschatology is. It's a modern skepticism on the Book of Revelation revealing history or unfolding in history as time goes on, but overleaping the entire history of the church and dumping us into the last 7.5 or 3.5 years when the entire. And that's what I talk about in the prologue of my book, the calamity of the entire book of Revelation being unleashed in this last 7 or 3.5 year period that is going to begin when they start to build the temple or I should say is not going to begin. And that's the problem. That's why the book is timely, that we've been talking about for the last hour, when the third temple is built, the rapture play will begin. But anyway, to our topic here. The Church of Christ in these last days, says Professor Birks of Cambridge, is exposed to strong temptation from the spread of a secret and disguised infidelity. Many causes have conspired in promoting it. The long years which have passed since the first preaching of the gospel, the superstition of the Middle Ages, the religious feuds of later times, the progress of physical science, with the consequent occupation of men's thoughts, more than ever, about sensible and outward things, and the widening intercourse with all the various creeds of the whole earth. Hence, the faith of real Christians has often been severely sifted, and that of many others entirely undermined. A vague, loose form of skepticism has crept in and become fashionable, which does not care openly to discard Christianity, but is content to reduce it to the rank of uncertain opinion, a harmless and even beautiful form of religious sentiment. While it denies the binding authority of its message and treats the Word of God with a hollow politeness, or perhaps with scornful indifference. At such a time, we need to use every help which God has given us to expose this fearful evil. One of the chief of these is the sword of prophecy. For here, the Almighty Himself withdraws the veil that we may see His hand clearly at work amidst all the changes of time, and discover the seal of His own presence, or prescience, whereby His word is stamped with divine authority. Once let its truth enter our minds, and infidelity can have no place within us. The history of our world becomes bright with the very sunshine of heaven, where all seemed before to be disorder and darkness. We can now discover light, love, order, and beauty. The gulf which appeared to separate us from the times of the gospel and the personal history of our Lord is bridged over, and the meanest events are now passing around, are seen to be links in one mighty chain of providence, which reaches from past eternity and loses itself in an eternity yet to come. The Church of Christ does well in taking heed to this word of prophecy, until Christ Himself, the true day star, shall return to scatter the darkness amidst all the dimness of earthly hopes and human fancies. It is this holy light which alone can reveal the mysteries of divine providence, while it leads our thoughts onward to the glory which shall be revealed. We occupy today a more advanced position than has ever been previously reached in the course of the five kingdoms of history and prophecy, a position from which we can now trace with clearer light and fuller knowledge than that possessed by those who have gone before us. The plan of providence directing the development and decline of human governments, and the rise and establishment of the kingdom of God. Standing as we do at the close of the fourth, or Roman kingdom, of the visions of Daniel and the Apocalypse, we behold the fulfillment of their predictions as to the four kingdoms, and especially as the last, in its pagan and papal stages, the long course of its anti-Christian and persecuting action, and the outpouring of the vials of God's wrath by which its destruction is being accomplished. We trace the fall of the western and eastern divisions of the Roman Empire under Gothic, Saracen, and Turkish invasions, the rise of the papal and Mohammedan apostasies, their dominion and decline, the fall of the papal temporal power at the date so long foretold, and the parallel wasting away of Turkey, the subjection throughout the world of Mohammedan countries to Christian rule, together with the rise of the Jewish race to their national reconstitution and restoration to the land of their fathers. In all these mighty movements, with their worldwide effects, we can clearly see the fulfillment of the sure word of prophecy, the actual realization in the history of the past and in the present events, and in the course of things predicted thousands of years ago in the writings of the holy apostles and prophets contained in the scriptures. Our faith in the inspiration of the Bible is thus confirmed. The ceaseless assaults of skepticism are resisted and repelled as the foaming waves of the sea by the lofty rocks against which they hurl themselves in vain. And the very opposition of unbelief, of skepticism, naturalism, and materialism, as foretold in prophecy among the salient characteristics of the closing days of the present dispensation, confirm our faith in the Word of God, which has forewarned and forearmed us against these attacks. In the divinely pictured visions of the Apocalypse, as Eliot has admirably shown, the philosophy of the history of Christendom is set before us. The chief eras and vicissitudes of the Roman pagan empire, and the sketch of the Christian body such as it would represent itself to the all-seeing eye of God's Spirit. The sealing of an elect number out of the professing church, or mystic Israel, and the subsequent fortunes and histories of Christendom and the Church distinctly in two different lines of succession. One, the visible professing and more anti-Christian Church. The other, no visible Christian body, but Christ's own real Church, the outgathering and election of grace, individually chosen, enlightened, quickened, and sealed by Him with the Holy Spirit of adoption, a body notable as God's servants for holy obedience, and though few in number as compared with the apostate professors of Christianity, yet in God's eye, numerically perfect and complete. Thenceforward, the prophecy traced them in their two distinct lines of succession through their respective fortunes and histories down even to the consummation. On the one hand, there was depicted the body of false professors, multiplied so as to form the main and dominant constituency of apostate Christendom, as developed more and more a religion not Christian, but anti-Christian, it being based on human traditions, not on God's Word, and after falling away to the worship of departed saints and martyrs as mediators in place of Christ, as alike in its Western and Eastern divisions, judicially visited and desolated by the divine avenging judgments of emblematic tempests, scorpion locusts, and horsemen from the Euphrates, in other words, of the Goths, Saracens, and Turks, then as its Western division rising up again from the primary desolating judgment of Gothic invasion, in the new form, an ecclesiastical empire, enthroned on the seven hills of ancient Rome, its secret contriver being the very dragon or satanic spirit that had ruled openly before in the pagan empire, its ruling head proud, persecuting, blasphemous, and self-exalting against God, even beyond his pagan precursors, its constituency and priesthood characterized by unrepented idolatries and fornications, theft and murders, and sorceries, in fine, as continuing unchanged. Unchangeable in its apostasy, notwithstanding the repeated checks and woes of judgments from heaven, even until the end, and therefore, then at length in its impenitence to be utterly abandoned to judgment, and like another Sodom, made an example of the vengeance of the everlasting fire. This being, in fact, the grand essential preliminary to the world's intended and blessed regeneration. On the other hand, with regard to Christ's true church, the election of grace, consisting of such as should hold to Christ as their head, and keep the word of God, the testimony of Jesus, the apocalyptic prophecy represented them as almost at once entering on a great and long tribulation. Yet though in number few and fewer, and reduced soon to a state of spiritual destitute and desolate like that of the wilderness, so as to constitute them a church invisible rather than visible, as still secretly preserved by their Lord, and then, as witnesses for Christ's cause and truth, made war on by Rome's revived empire, as by a beast from the abyss of hell, and so being at length conquered and apparently exterminated, yet suddenly revived and exalted in the presence of their enemies, a revelation from heaven of Christ as the Son of Righteousness, introducing and accompanying this glorious revival of God's slaughtered witnesses, a political revolution attending or following under which the tenth part of the ten kingdom ecclesiastical empire would fall. All this the prophecy figured as a result of God's second great intervention for his church and fulfilled in the great reformation of the 16th century. The discovery introducing it of the doctrine of justification simply by faith in Christ Jesus, and the downfall following it of the tenth part of the popedom in papal England. Thus the Protestant Reformation is distinctly figured in the Apocalypse as a glorious divine act. As to the subsequent indifference in religion, which followed the 17th and 18th centuries, it was not unforeseen in the further developments of the Apocalypse. Yet, it seemed also pre-intimated how, as if from some gracious revival of religion and God's still-favored Protestantism, there would afterwards speed forth in the latter times three missionary angels flying through mid-heaven with voices of faithful gospel preaching throughout the length and breadth of the whole world, of warning against papal Rome and denunciation of its quickly coming judgment, a contemporary energetic revival and going forth of the spirit of popery, conjunctively with other kindred and allied spirits of pagan-like infidelity and pseudo-Christian priestcraft, being but the last putting forth of its bravery to hasten the final crisis and constitute the precursive and justification of its fall. Acts these that would be nearly the last public ones promoted or mingled in by the little body of Christ's faithful ones on earth, for it was foreshown how that Christ's advent would speedily follow, and contemporarily therewith, and with the mystic Babylon's destruction by fire, his witnessing saints, and all that fear him, small and great, have the reward given them of an entrance into the everlasting kingdom of their Lord. And that so, and then, not before or otherwise, the promised regeneration of all things, the Christian's great object of hope, should have its accomplishment in Christ's own reign with his saints, and therewith at length the true and only complete evangelization of the world. Such is the apocalyptic moral philosophy of the history of Christendom. It's ruled by faith, not tradition, but the Bible, its church, of the promises that alone of true believers in Jesus, and God's glory in Christ, the grand and final object ever set forth in it. A quote there from E.B. Eliot. In the foregoing view, there is a consistency with the apocalyptic figuration and the actual history of the Christian church which cannot fail to deeply impress those whose minds have not been blinded by prejudice or warped by erroneous conceptions as to the subject of apocalyptic prophecy and the philosophy of Christian history. For the apocalypse is manifestly the story of Christ's kingdom. Its faithful and suffering saints are none other than those who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ, who overcome their warfare, who overcome in their warfare with the satanically ruled world power by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and loved not their lives unto the death. Those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Those who are the martyrs of Jesus. Those who are called and chosen and faithful. Those whom God calls my people. And those who have the testimony of Jesus. Those who were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and the word of God. They form a great multitude which no man could number. Of all nations, God's chosen people, remember, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues. They ascribe their salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. They have come out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. They are the palm-bearing multitude before the throne, the victors who sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, the 144,000 who stand with the Lamb on Mount Zion, having his Father's name written in their foreheads, who follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth, who are redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. They are the blessed who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb, and the blessed and holy persons who have part in the first resurrection, on whom the second death hath no power, priests of God and of Christ, who reign with him 1,000 years, and later on reign forever and ever. They are the citizens of the holy Jerusalem, who constitute the bride, the Lamb's wife, a city which is yet to descend out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, in which the saints of the seven churches addressed in the opening epistles of the prophecy have their part and receives their reward, for on them Christ promises to write the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. The saints to whom he promises that they shall sit with him on his throne when he comes in the glory of his kingdom. The apocalypse describes the double conflict or warfare of these saints and martyrs of Jesus. First, their conflict with Papal Rome, and then first their conflict with pagan Rome, and then with Papal Rome. First, their warfare in which they overcome, and secondly, the warfare in which they are overcome and utterly silenced, but from which slain condition they rise and are exalted to power in manifest analogy to the experience of their Lord, the Lamb, who had been slain and raised and exalted to the right hand of God. These in the dark ages were his faithful witnesses, the church hidden in the wilderness, like the prophet Elijah in the days of the Baal apostasy of Israel. And these, in the glorious Reformation, the age of the little book open, of the restored Word of God, were they who took the little book from the hand of the angel of the everlasting covenant, whose face was as the sun, and fed upon it like the prophet Ezekiel, and then in the power of its teachings prophesied again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. Do we not recognize in all this the Church of Jesus Christ? Are we not acquainted with her history? Do we conceive of that Church as reigning in the world over subject kings and nations, clothed in glory and magnificence, arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious jewels? Or do we conceive of that Church as reigning in the world over subject kings and nations, clothed in glory and magnificent, arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, by which figure is the true Church of Christ represented in the Apocalypse, by the woman who is clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars, who is forced to flee into the wilderness and to remain hidden there during the period of the dominion of the revived beast power, or by the woman seated upon the beast, reigning over the peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues? If the latter be to us the figure of the Church of Christ, then have we confounded the Bride of the Lamb with the harlot Babylon, a fatal error too common in our days. But if, on the other hand, we recognize in the suffering hidden Church of the Apocalypse the figure of the true spiritual Church of Christ in this dispensation, analogous with the faithful hidden Israel of Jewish history, who had never bowed the knee to Baal, how confirmatory to faith becomes the marvelous revelation anticipation of the course of Christian history. How clearly we behold the evidence of the divine inspiration of prophecy, for by no mere human wisdom could the strange and checkered history of the Church, its apostasies, its contrasts, its conflicts, its victories have been foreseen. Yet here is all the story told in advance, the events described long before they came to pass, sketched with masterly power, drawn in striking colors, ineffaceable by time, portrayed not only with fidelity, but with an insight into the deepest meanings, most manifestly divine. And every century, by its fresh fulfillment, has only added to the evidence of that inspiration, while the events of the present, as they unfold before our eyes, still further confirm it upon the impregnable rock of Holy Scripture. Then we take our stand, nor fear the assaults of modern skepticism. Our faith in the Bible is the Word of God, confirmed and deepened, assured that while heaven and earth shall pass away, the word of the Lord as contained in that sacred volume shall abide as living and life-giving truth forever. And that's the end of this segment of our use of the Apocalypse, or the Book of Revelation, practical use of it. We'll do part 5 next time on our Cross the Border Prophecy Reality Edition. Okay, and if you'd like a copy of that, well, I'm going to publish the entire thing after I get done going through it on the air here as an article on the on my blog, so make sure you look forward to that. Until then, well, we're going to be back for another segment here. Take a short break, and we'll be right back. The
The book of Revelation says, the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ. This is at the very heart of FirstAmendmentRadio.com. In that spirit, we have created the Prophecy Reality News app for all of your mobile devices, streaming First Amendment Radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Available for your Apple, Android device, and smartphone, absolutely free. Get the Prophecy Reality News app installed today, so you can listen to First Amendment Radio wherever you are. The Prophecy Reality News app. Get it now.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on internet or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. Then, when you subscribe, we will send you the last quarterly MP3 CD of that program immediately, and continue to do so with each new quarter. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe, so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Okay, welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border, our Prophecy Reality Edition. Breaking down the wall of false prophecy. That's what we need to be doing, breaking down the wall of false prophecy. We have an opportunity coming up when they start to build this temple. It'd be nice to have this book when the third temple is built in the hands of people before it happens, so they can say, well, at least somebody knew, you know. And there are a few of us out here who do know that there will be no rapture when they start to build the temple. And I don't know, I don't visit many rapture sites like Rapture Ready. Well, Rapture Ready, we got our seat belts strapped on. It's like they're getting ready for the plane to take off. That's right, we're Rapture Ready. What do you got to do to be Rapture Ready? Nothing. Because all of the calamity that you don't have to be ready for isn't going to happen until after you're gone. But the fact is, you're not going anywhere. You just think you're going somewhere. You bought into a delusion. And, you know, people don't like to hear that they're delusional. But if they are, well, someone needs to warn them. Okay, let me check out our chat room here and see what's going on, if anything. And we still got a good number of people. Anybody want to call in? Now is the time. This is our last segment. Now is the time. People have a lot to say in the chat room, but not a whole lot to say here. Another thing is that we have the Mark of the Beast coming up, and all of the rapturists, you know, they don't have to worry about that, because the Antichrist is not going to even be revealed until they're raptured out. So they don't have to worry about the Mark of the Beast and all that stuff that's implemented. How convenient, you know. I mean, If you were the Antichrist, or if you were controlled by the dragon, and you know, that dragon's been around for a long time. He has a lot of experience in deceiving people, because he's been doing it for thousands of years, right? And why would he wait until the last 7.5 years when all of the Christians are gone to deceive them? See, because the whole proposition is ridiculous to begin with. You know, what's his name? Chuck Missler. He wrote that book, The Rapture, Christianity's Most Preposterous Belief. And I agree with him. It is preposterous. It's downright ridiculous. Because Satan is an idiot. Yeah, if you think Satan's an idiot and not a good deceiver, why would he wait to deceive the whole world until after the Christians? He's already got the whole world. See? And isn't he after the Christians, the remnant, you know? Why are they going to be gone when Satan finally gets control and gets his man in power? No, he's a lot slicker than that. His man has been in power for over 1,000 years. And he sits in the seat of the Antichrist in Rome. Yeah, the great Roman church and the great Roman apostasy. And he's still there. Working differently, yes. Working behind the scenes. The beast that was and is not, yet is. Shh. It makes sense now, doesn't it? Because, I mean, they look at us talking about Rome ruling the world, and the Pope, and they go, that little old man over there, and that's not real, man. You were deluded. Yet they're holding on to, you know, a speculation that the Holy Spirit is going to be removed from the earth, and then some guy is going to be revealed and somehow rule the world after all the Christians are taken out, and then these people that are going to be left behind. This is really a fanciful, fictional scenario. The people that are left behind are somehow without the Holy Spirit. I mean, we're God's chosen people. We are the elect of God, and it's difficult for us, even with the Holy Spirit, to walk straight. Isn't it? And somehow, these people without the Holy Spirit and the Antichrist present in the world are going to lay down their lives for the truth, so they can make the resurrection, or because they missed the rapture. While these 144,000 Jews are going to be running around the earth evangelizing. You know, who writes this stuff? This is all fantasy. You know, this is all conjecture. And see, it's all speculation about what hasn't happened. See, now we're the historicists. We don't speculate about the future. We look at the past and we line it up with fulfilled prophecy so that we know where we're at. And so we know what remains in the prophecy yet to be fulfilled. And guess what? We're pretty close to the end. Yeah. There's very little that needs to be fulfilled. We have the total destruction of Mystery Babylon with fire, and the takeover of power by the 10-horned beast who actually destroys Mystery Babylon with fire. And so some people might say that happened, but you know, the head was wounded, as it were, to death, and then it rose again, because it didn't rise again until the 20th century, you know, about 120 years ago. 1929 to be exact, when the head wound was healed. But now we see the 10-horned beast, and we see the Vatican. And the Vatican is supposed to be destroyed completely by this 10-horned beast. And then we have the final battle. See, all this is being set up right now in the interim. For the return of Christ. So, and we've got I can only say that, you know, from God's word and following the Roman calendar, that we have about 38 years until the seventh millennium from the creation begins. So we're at the year like 5962 right now, something like that. 5962, meaning like there's 38 years left before the seventh millennium begins. And if the seventh millennium is the millennial reign of Christ, where he physically returns to the earth, despite what the great Roman church says, because they say that Christ isn't going to return, that they are the prophesied reign of Christ on the earth. That's what, usurping the place of Christ, saying that the Pope will sit as Christ, as his vicegerent, as a vice Christ, in place of Christ. Antichrist, that's what Antichrist means, in place of. Doesn't mean just mean against, although in this case it's both in place of and against. They will sit on the throne and rule the world for 1,000 years, figuratively speaking, because they say it's all figurative, that Christ is not really going to return physically and bodily, that there will be no resurrection of the dead, us getting bodies like him as promised in God's word, and that they have the true interpretation, and they're going to pull off their 7-year tribulation deception to get more people to believe that lie. And then they're going to establish their one world monetary system. Look at all the financial upheaval in the world and the change, great changes that are taking place, where you can see it coming. No doubt in my mind that when they start to build this temple, nobody will be raptured. They ain't even going to be able to fake a rapture, okay? They're not even going to be able to fake it. Project Moonbeam or whatever nonsense you hear out there, and holograms and stuff. You know, they may be able to fake a lot of things, like they fake miracles, and they fake apparitions of Mary, the Mother of God, the Queen of Heaven. Not the Mary, the Mother of our Lord and Savior, who was on the earth 2,000 years ago. No, not that Mary, who will join us in the resurrection of the dead, but a different Mary, the Queen of Heaven, the Mother of their God. Yes, the Mother, their Baal God. Because Mary is not the Queen of Heaven. She is not the Mother of God. She bore the Son of God. Just read the Bible for yourself and verify it for yourself. She is not a co-redemptress with Jesus, as the Roman Church states. Well, I'm here all day. There's a phone number. You can call me. I even got an app now. That's a Magic Jack number. I got an app. It rings on my smartphone. Imagine that. And I'll answer it. I'll answer it here if I'm near the phone, but I'll answer it on my smartphone if I'm away. And if you want to help out, email. Let's start an email dialogue. And you want to join our effort here to start a Holy Protestant Historicist Bible College and become accredited, so we can actually send men out to be pastors and have an effect out there in the visible church. Because in all of these buildings, in all of these churches out here, there are few of God's elect. I mean, there may be congregations that are wholly void of God's elect, especially if they're embracing the idolatry and the concupiscence of the day. Yeah. You understand what that word means? Because they're out there and they're doing it. They're embracing it. That's the lust of the flesh. Embracing things like sodomy and homosexual marriage and things like that. If they're embracing that, then God's people definitely have to leave that. God's people, there are a lot of good people out there, even in the Roman church, that will come out when they hear the truth. But they need to hear the truth. truth. And how will they hear if no one preaches? So we need to send out, you know, we need to do what we can while there's day, because the night is coming, you know, when we won't be able to work openly. But right now we can still work openly. Yeah. So we need to redeem the time. So come on, join the army out here. I need all the help I can get. God needs you to work. So all of you retired people, put off that worldly retirement and the enjoyment of your final years of your fleshly demise, and invest them in the kingdom of God. That's what I'm doing. I'm investing my final years wholly in the kingdom of God. Yeah, I was born in 1953. Figure it out. Okay? I should be collecting Socialist Security, but I don't even have a number. Right? I repented of that 25 years ago. Repented of applying for benefits. Well, someone applied for me, if you want. I repented of participating in it. No. God will take care of me. He will support me. The just shall live by faith. And that is exactly what I will continue to do. And if God doesn't want to take care of me, well, what kind of God would he be? If some people say, well, that's how God's taking care of me. By benefits from Rome? You've forgotten God's benefits. I would rather suffer want, and I have suffered want, than accept benefits from the beast, from the two-horned or the ten-horned beast, whichever manifestation is over your area. Accepting benefits, stolen benefits, theft, participating in the theft of socialism and communism. Because that is one of the key tenets of the Mark of the Beast monetary system, is redistribution of wealth. God gave us property rights. In the Ten Commandments, where it says, thou shalt not steal. That is the very foundation of property rights. Because you can't steal if there are no property rights. That's what the Mark of the Beast is. So if you're participating in that nonsense, pray. Ask God to free you from that. Walk away from it. You need help? Let the church know. Let me know. I'll help you out in any way I can. If you're willing to work in His kingdom, God has a place for you somewhere. It may be right where you're at. Or maybe you don't want to spend your, you know, $500,000 or $100,000 or even $10,000 if you have in your bank account. That's your fallback. You know? Whatever. You don't want to spend it. Well, spend it, invest it in His kingdom. You know? Believe that God will take care of you. He will. He said, forget not all of my benefits. He didn't say, forget not all of the world's benefits. Yes, we lost one here. We lose people. I lost one here, a man who was here with me for many years. Went out and signed up for benefits. He got jealous of the people around him because I tried to tell him, you need to get away from those people. Stop hanging out with those people. But he got seduced. Why should he have to work when he can get free money, free place to live, free food? But he's gone today, no longer here with me. W.J. says, which number, Nicholas? Which number what? Yeah. Participating in the civic and giving your support to theft. Excellent point. You guys should call me and talk to me, so I'm not talking to the chat room here. And once in a while, it'd be nice if people would call in and talk to me. Get over your fear, whatever it is that you have. Let your voice be heard. All we need is a first name. Yeah, we got to put your face on the air. You can even use your chat room name, George Light, or whoever has a lot to say in the chat room. Now, maybe when Michael Eugene gets here, maybe he'll be my co-host. We'll see. And, yeah, George Lyde says, my wife keeps saying, well, we paid into it. That's the hook. Yeah, they stole from you for yours, so you might as well get yours back, right? Right. No, you don't, you know, that's like the protection racket. Yeah. That's all Social Security is a protection racket. Because if you don't pay into it, you're afraid that they're going to come out and destroy you and take everything you have. But it's all adhesion, it's all privilege. It's all private law agreement. You agreed when you went down and applied for benefits. You agreed to the whole contract. Well, God is calling you to repent. The agreement was a violation of His law. Your name and where you're calling from, you're on the air.
Hi, Nicholas. Fireman Mike again from Akron, Ohio.
Hello, Mike.
How in the heck did you amputate yourself from the Social Security system? It seems like you wouldn't be able to function.
Well, it has become increasingly more difficult over the last 25 years because they keep excluding things. Because I used to have a driver's license, but then they required a number. So now I travel without, okay? And so I can't participate and haven't gone to court on that one yet, but I've discovered I'm not really a driver anyway because a driver is a profession. And I don't need a license because I don't carry passengers or cargo for hire, so therefore I'm not a driver. And most of the judges understand this, and the police, and when they stop me, they always let me go now.
Okay? Is that state law in California, that if as long as it's not a profession, you don't need a driver's license, you can drive yourself?
No, it's a state law that they can't tow your vehicle anymore. Anyway, I've got 20 seconds, man, and I want to thank you for the call. I wish you'd call in earlier next week, okay? Promise me.
Okay. Well, yeah.
We'll have more answers. But I got to go now, so I want to thank everyone for listening, and thanks for the call, Mike. We'll be back next week.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on internet or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. Then, when you subscribe, we will send you the last quarterly MP3 CD of that program immediately and continue to do so with each new quarter. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.